You're listening to the 1 Peter 5 Friday Roundup. Hello and welcome to the 1 Peter 5 Friday Roundup, where we recap the big stories of the week in an itty-bitty podcast. Expert Vaticanist Sandro Magister has revealed that Pope Francis has decided to hold off on the publication of his long-awaited eco-cyclical, that would be his encyclical on the environment. The reason, according to Magister, is that the Pope has realized that the document, in its current form, has no chance of receiving the approval of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, at least not under the leadership of Cardinal Gerhard Müller. If it seems somewhat improper for a cardinal to be telling a pope what he can and can't write, don't fret, gentle listener. The text wasn't written by Pope Francis at all. The ghostwriter behind the heavily discussed encyclical is one Archbishop Victor Manuel Fernandez of Tibernia, a native of Buenos Aires. Archbishop Fernandez, who belongs to Pope Francis's inner circle in the position of most trusted theological advisor, was already heavily involved in the writing of Evangelii Gaudium and spent the summer of 2013 in Rome for that purpose. Last March, as Pope Francis set about to compose his eco-cyclical, Archbishop Fernandez was again flown in to do the heavy lifting. The close working relationship apparently stretches back to the time when Pope Francis was still Archbishop Jorge Bergoglio of Buenos Aires, with Fernandez working largely behind the scenes, drafting the future pontiff's important speeches and letters. Magister also revealed that in 1995, Fernandez wrote a book called, I'm not even making this up, Heal Me With Your Mouth, The Art of Kissing. Fernandez writes in the presentation of the book, I want to clarify that this book was not written based on my personal experience, but based on the lives of those who kiss. The lives of those who kiss. Who could they be? And therefore, quote, this is a quote, therefore I have spoken for a long time to many people who have much experience in this field, end quote. I'm not sure how to chase away the yucky feelings that I'm now experiencing, but I'm going to start with a large bourbon and an extremely hot shower. Speaking of showers, it's Friday, which means we need to ask you to shower us in donations. See what I did there? As part of our ongoing $5 Friday campaign. $5 Friday is where we get real with math and remind you that if everyone who read 1P5 in just 1 week donated just $5, we'd be able to meet our modest funding goals. Currently, we're at only 10% of our goal for the month, which makes bills hard to pay and would earn a big sad trombone noise if I had one handy. Womp, womp, womp. Not really as good when I do it with my face. If you like what we're doing, please consider a small or a large donation by going to 1peter5.com/donate. It's that easy. And our donations are tax deductible as applicable by law. So please hit the 1peter5.com/donate page and just drop a few coins in the bucket. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Latin Mass, the traditional Latin Mass, to be specific, is in the news again this week with Bishop Lynch of the Diocese of St. Petersburg, Florida. You may remember him as the bishop who opposed those trying to prevent the starving death of Terry Schiavo. Yeah, that Bishop Lynch. Anyway, he's closing down the two main Latin Mass communities in the diocese, and he announced this in a dismissive, one might even say hostile, letter, designating Epiphany Parish as the new, quote, center for the Latin Mass, end quote. The bishop announced that at the end of June, celebrations of the TLM would be forced to end at St. Anthony of Padua Parish in San Antonio, Florida, and Incarnation Parish in Tampa. He indicates that, quote, any reconstruction or remodeling of the sanctuary at Epiphany will not be possible due to the fact that it is also the site of the St. Joseph Vietnamese Mission, end quote. Doesn't really make a lot of sense to you? Yeah, me neither. So the website for Epiphany Parish, it's no longer available. You click it, it goes to a dead link. And without interior photos, it's kind of hard to guess. But one can only surmise that this prohibition on reconstruction would have to do with no installation of an altar rail or a permanent high altar. Who knows what else the architectural features of the building actually supply and whether they'll be conducive to the traditional Latin Mass. If it's like any of the other churches built in the last 40 years, the answer is probably no. Lynch goes on to say, I envision this site as capable of meeting the needs of those few people who have been attending Mass in the extraordinary form. Again, this is a quote. Let's listen to this again. Quote, I envision this site capable of meeting the needs of those few people who have been attending Mass in the extraordinary form at both of the parishes where it has been previously celebrated, end quote. We've gotten some comments from readers, and they say that they're going to be losing about 25% of the parish, might be more than a few people. Moving on, Lynch also warns that the move is an economic experiment, which will depend on the financial viability of the new parish, and terms the change as a, quote, favor for those who attend the extraordinary form. Talk about the bad old days of the indult all over again. He finishes by saying, quote, I wish to note that there are very few priests who are willing to celebrate the Mass in the extraordinary form, and even fewer still who do speak and or understand Latin, end quote. And when I say he finishes with that, I mean it's the last sentence of the letter. It was kind of the bishop, really gracious of him, to finish the letter by admitting that he has utterly failed to do his job by not forming seminarians according to the mandates of Pope St. John XXIII's Apostolic Constitution on the Use of the Latin Language in the Church, Veterum Sapientia. He didn't need to fall on his sword like that in the letter, but we're all glad he did. On the other side of the TLM coin, Bishop Mark O'Toole of the Diocese of Plymouth in the UK gave an interview to Mass of Ages, which is the quarterly publication of the excellent Latin Mass Society of England and Wales. Bishop O'Toole disclosed his plans to, quote, normalize, end quote, attendance at Old Rite Masses, create a new center for traditional liturgy in the east of his diocese, encourage traditional orders to take over a parish and provide pastoral support, and he praised the fidelity of those who like to attend Mass in the extraordinary form. The bishop, whose family came from a place I'm not even going to be able to pronounce, let's see, is it Scottish? Connemara Gaeltacht, further said that he can envision that some seminarians may learn to celebrate the extraordinary form, if that is what their bishops wish, and he argued that there is no danger from the plurality of rites. O'Toole said, quote, it is very clear to me that there is a significant number of people who are attached to Mass in the traditional form. One of the things I have seen is quite a number of letters about this. I would like to establish a regularity of provision and a systematized provision. Bishop O'Toole says that Plymouth, a very large diocese geographically, has minimal Mass attendance. In fact, only 3 or 4% of the population identifies as Catholic. Expanding the TLM is one of the ways that he sees to increase those numbers. The bishop does not rule out the idea of the extraordinary form becoming part of life even in the ordinary parishes, and he acknowledged that most who attend such masses in the diocese are not members of the Latin Mass Society. O'Toole went on, quote, I am very aware that people feel slightly marginalized, he said. That's unfortunate because it's very clear to me that they have a great love of the church and the church's liturgy and great faithfulness. One of the things I have always been impressed by is when you reflect on the nature of the church, many of the saints' experience was of the Tridentine Mass. This is what formed them. So the thing for me is one of integration and normalization. How can you say the people who celebrated it for 1,500 years were wrong? You can't ban it or regard it as lesser. It's a matter of recognizing that it has a legitimate place. Let that sink in for a minute. That is the reaction of a truly Catholic bishop to Summorum Pontificum. 8 years later, we shouldn't be back in indult land. But this is not a podcast, and I'm going to move on to the news. When Father Linus Clovis, a leading priest in the international pro-life effort, gave a closed-door talk in Rome last week, he discussed the difficulties priests and bishops are now facing under the so-called Francis Effect. Referencing Cardinal Dolan's congratulatory comments regarding the coming out of homosexual football player Michael Sam, Father Clovis said,
when a bishop, a Catholic bishop, can actually applaud sin publicly, it causes us to tremble. But this is essentially the Francis effect. It's disarming bishops and priests, especially after the Holy Father said, "Who am I to judge?" I, as a priest, say Mass, preaching, and I make a judgment about a sin, one, the breaking of the Ten Commandments, I would be condemned for judging. I would be accused of being more Catholic than the Pope. There used to be a saying, rhetorical, "Is the Pope Catholic?" That's no longer funny.
Quite an interesting response to that joke, wasn't it? Father Clovis has degrees in theology and canon law and serves in leadership positions in a number of apostolates, including the Population Research Institute, Family Life International, the Legion of Mary, the Secretariat for Family and Life in the Archdiocese of Castries, San Lucia. According to his bio, he led, in fact, the resistance to the St. Lucia government's surreptitious legalization of abortion in his Catholic island, and, get this, even refused Holy Communion to the head of state for having signed abortion into law. Not surprisingly, this is a man who advised us that we should prepare for martyrdom. Get the full video of his talk on our website. You don't want to miss it. Finally today, news that Cardinal Tagle, the Filipino prelate often called the Asian Pope Francis, or, well, he's not Pope, Asian Francis, has been elected as the new leader of the global Vatican-controlled charity organization Caritas Internationalis. Tagle is considered by many to be a papabile, a favored potential replacement for Pope Francis when the time comes for a new conclave. Caritas was formerly headed by Cardinal Oscar Rodriguez Maradiaga, who was known for his sympathies to both modernism, which he defended in a speech at Catholic University, and liberation theology, which seems to have colored his at least quasi-Marxist theories. Caritas itself was revealed last year by Michael Hitchborn of the Lepanto Institute to have a seat on the governing body of the World Social Forum, a pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, pro-communist group. So far, no effort has been made to remove Caritas Internationalis from that position, and as yet, there is no indication that Cardinal Tagle intends a program of reform for the organization when he takes the top spot. That's all we have time for this week. We couldn't possibly cover all the headlines. Please check out all of our stories, though, at 1peter5.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode of the Friday Roundup, please consider making a small contribution on our donation page, again, located at 1peter5.com/donate. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next Friday. One Peter 5.